Welcome to the Persian Hour. I'm your host, Shahrukh Nikfar. Salam everyone. Thank you for inviting me into your homes and into your lives today. I'm glad to bring you the Persian Hour every Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. I will do my best to entertain you as well as introduce you to Iran, a land of love, compassion, poetry, and hospitality, all rooted in its rich history. A land of contrasts, but not without its flaws. On the Persian Hour, you will hear Iranian music from traditional to blues, jazz, and even hip-hop and rap. You will hear stories about growing up in Iran and from people who travel to Iran. One person that was here last Tuesday by the name of Rowan Storm gave a presentation about Iranian music and culture. This last Tuesday night, I had invited her to come to Spokane from L.A., and she actually talked about the similarities between the Spanish and Persian culture. Let me tell you about Rowan Storm. She studied and recorded, performed, and has been teaching a wide range of Middle Eastern percussion instruments for over 25 years in conservatories, universities, concert halls, broadcasts throughout the United States, Central America, Europe, Cyprus, Turkey, Azerbaijan, Iran, and Kurdistan. She has collaborated with some of the greatest masters of Mediterranean and Middle Eastern music, and there's such a long list of them which I'm not going to read. She has lived for a long time in Greece and Switzerland, and since 1993, and she also lives part-time in LA. She is a leader in the current movement within Greek music and culture of embracing shared Oriental heritage. Recently, Rowan traveled alone for 3 months throughout Iran, deepening her understanding of the Persian classical music, the role of women in ancient and sacred percussion traditions, as well as the deep Eastern roots of Western culture. So I interviewed her, and I do have a recording of that interview, which I'm going to play for you. And again, she was here last Tuesday, and she graciously accepted the invitation, and she came in, and she did this wonderful performance. There were about maybe 80 people who showed up to watch her, and there were about maybe 12 Iranians whose jaws dropped once Rowan started playing music. And she was just like a master Persian musician. I'm just so natural and so awesome. I wish you were there to watch it. But here's the interview which I conducted with her. Enjoy. Welcome to the Persian Hour, Rowan.
Khayli mamnoon.
Which means thank you very much. So you are a master musician, and your expertise is in Middle Eastern music. Is that correct?
Yes, and I'm not so sure that I would refer to myself as a master, but anyway, thank you very much for that title.
Sure.
But I've been involved with Middle Eastern music for most of my life, and that's quite a few years now that I've been involved with Middle Eastern music. And it all started with Persian music.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how did that start?
Well, my family moved from the East Coast to Los Angeles, to Tehran, uh-huh, in the 50s, in the middle of the 50s. And I was growing up as a person looking for something real during my teenage years in Los Angeles. And the thing that I discovered by accident was at a classical Persian concert in Los Angeles in the late 60s. And I was just so deeply moved by the quality of this music that it was a major catharsis. And many, many strange coincidences started happening after that, leading me and guiding, pulling me into Middle Eastern music. And at that time in Los Angeles, there were not very many Iranians there yet. But I did find some recordings of other kinds of Middle Eastern music and listening constantly. And then finally I started to be invited to perform with different groups. And that's basically how it started.
Like what kind of groups?
Well, in the beginning it was with Armenians from New York, mm-hmm, City of Turkish. Their parents had come from Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first professional music involvement was with Armenian and Turkish music in New York City. And then Greek music and Arabic music, and there weren't very many Iranians either in New York when I moved there after university in 1975, 76. But there were a few, and I did some performances with some Iranians also in New York City.
Right.
And then in 1993, I moved to Greece. It's a long story, but that's the short story is that I finally wanted to go over to the part of the world where this music was coming from, and especially to Iran. But I just think it was too much of a jump for me to go to Iran somehow. I mean, all this time I had been so interested in the culture of Iran simply because this music had this extraordinary quality that I couldn't really understand how music could produce such a profound spiritual result.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it has anything to do with its long history?
Absolutely. I think it has to do with its very, very long history, very, very, very complicated, very, very, very long history. And, you know, really, literally, since that time, I've been trying to understand how it was possible to have that kind of effect.
Right.
And one of the things, I believe, is the classical Persian music is based on poetry, and the poetry is based on very, very deep philosophy of love and humanitarian understanding. And I think that that's a very, very deep quality of it. Whether or not the music is vocal, whether or not someone is actually singing, but still the philosophy of the music is just so deep and so profound. And also the nature of Eastern art is very, very different than Western art. In Eastern cultures, I believe that the idea of art is more about honoring a tradition and it's stewardship of an art form. And the individual artist is operating within certain guidelines. And it's not like art in Western culture, which is all about me and my ego and what do I have to say. It's really more about stewarding this ancient, profound tradition and making sure that the philosophy is being maintained somehow. And it also, I think it has to do with the geometry inside Persian music. It's not the same intervals that we have in Western music,
mm-hmm.
which since the time of the tempering of the scale in Western music, which was a very... It was a great convenience for the sake of Western orchestras to play together and to accommodate singers, but at a great expense because the intervals of Persian music, for example, are more in alignment with the laws of harmonics that are found in nature. So that I think that that has also a great deal to do with how music that embodies these proportions that are part of the laws of physics, literally. They're the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a very, very powerful aspect of how this music has that effect.
Wonderful. So when did you take your first trip back to Iran?
I went for the first time. I only went one time, and that was in 2006. And I had tried before that. I had tried to get a visa, and I had tried to go for a language program to Tehran. And I wasn't denied, but somehow the visa never quite came through. And then finally, I got my visa in 2006. An Iranian gentleman living in Germany knew about the concerts that I was performing of classical Persian music and knew that I was trying to learn the language and that I honor deeply Persian culture. And it's a long story, but basically he was involved with another language program at Tehran that I wanted to go to, and basically he went to Tehran to the foreign ministry and convinced them and said to them, hey, you know, we need more Americans like this woman because she loves and honors our culture. So I did get the visa, but unfortunately it was 6 weeks late, so I missed the 3-week language program, but I was able to go and experience all the structure that had been prepared for those students from Germany and Switzerland. And so even though I missed the language program, I was very, very, very well taken care of and just had an absolutely marvelous time all over Iran. Alone all throughout Iran, not all the time. Sometime I was with friends, and I have some very, very close friends in Tehran. But somehow traveling alone is different than traveling with another person,
mm-hmm.
Because then you're left with your own devices. And also it helped my Persian language. By the end of the 3 months that I was in Iran, I was able to talk to anybody about anything. My Persian language is not very good, but at least I can communicate, I can understand, and I can get on the bus and sit next to someone and talk to them, mm-hmm. and find out what they think about everything. And I made friends all over the country. Extraordinary hospitality of the Iranian people. They just invited me into their homes, and I'm sure that I could stay forever and just go from one home to another and be a guest. And I was just welcomed with open arms.
So before you left for Iran, did anybody warn you about going there?
Oh, yes. Yes, very many people did.
Mm-hmm. And why did I feel uncomfortable, do you think?
Well, because there's been a few problems between the relationship between Iran and the United States, and certain people felt that I would be a target, that I would be a symbol of all of the problems between Iran and the United States, and even some of my dearest, oldest friends were actually screaming at me. They were so upset, and they were worried for me.
Sure.
But I knew that I just didn't really – I was a little bit concerned, a little bit. And also for that reason, most of the time when people ask me where I'm from, I said Greece, which is true. I live in Greece, and I speak Greek fluently, and I've been living there for a long time. So I just told people I'm from Greece, and then sometimes I told them that my passport is from America. And they just were so happy to meet me. They would drag me down the street to introduce me to all their friends. Mm-hmm. And it was like the highlight of not even their day. I mean, it was really a big deal for them to meet an American person. And mm-hmm. they just showed me off, and they thought it was really wonderful that I was there. I also did go to Kurdistan. That was a little bit more risky, I think.
Okay.
And that was absolutely wonderful. I had an absolutely fabulous time in Kurdistan. But even my friends in Tehran were very upset about my going to Kurdistan.
Really?
And they told me that I shouldn't go.
Right. But you were safe there as well.
Well, thank goodness. You know, I was safe. Nothing. I mean, I was absolutely well taken care of again.
Sure.
I mean, I met just extraordinary people. And I had wanted to go to Kurdistan for a long time because I play daf. And the daf is a Kurdish instrument. And I wanted I'd been dreaming about going there for a long time. And finally was able to join up with a group of women dervishes in Kurdistan, and I was able to join their ceremony and play daf with them. And I was treated like an equal. I didn't really even feel like I was a foreigner there because I play daf. It's not like I went there to learn daf. I mean, I went and I can play with them, and it was a dream come true. It was extraordinary.
I'm glad. So outside of having fun with all the people there and playing music with them and visiting with them, did you take any classes on Persian music or did you do anything else?
I took a few lessons and also, but interestingly enough, mostly I was teaching.
You were teaching? Wonderful.
I was teaching dayere to some women in Iran because that's a traditional women's percussion instrument that's pretty much, I believe it's still played in regional areas of Iran and certain kinds of regional music. But I had been trained to play dayere in the context of classical Persian music and have played many concerts with that instrument with a very great master of classical Persian music, Mohammad Reza Lodfi. And I'm very, very fortunate that I was his student for 5 or 6 years. And so when I went over there, I had the idea that really more than taking classes, I really wanted to experience the country. I just wanted to understand how the air smells and this magnificent country, this huge, vast country with all these different areas of different kinds of geography, different kinds of people and nationalities and languages and traditions. And so I had to make a choice. Am I going to stay in a room and practice?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to go and experience the country? And I chose the latter. And then it just so happened that I ended up teaching a lot.
So that's kind of interesting. You were teaching a traditional Persian type of music to people in Iran. And you're a blue-eyed, you know, blonde woman from America. How did that go about? I mean, were people resistant to it?
Really? I mean, they understood that I could play.
And they accepted it.
Said, oh, wow, you can play. I want to learn how to do that.
Really?
And because in the cities, people don't really play the instrument anymore. It's kind of died out. In the regional, you know, in the other smaller towns throughout Iran, probably they play it. I unfortunately didn't have the occasion to find anyone who was playing dayere.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I just didn't go to the right places. I don't know. I was looking for dieting.
Sure.
I was looking. And, you know, it just happened. I mean, I certainly didn't plan that. I didn't go over there with the idea that I'm going to start teaching. But actually, throughout the course of my career, I actually have taught quite a lot of people about their own cultures.
Wonderful.
Not only, you know, Persian music, but in America, I've taught many, many people about their, you know, their own culture.
So you traveled around for 3 months, mostly on your own.
Mm-hmm.
What modes of transportation did you use?
Bus and airplanes.
Really?
Yeah.
And was it comfortable?
Absolutely. The best coffee I ever had was on Iran Airlines.
Really?
Yeah, the best coffee in Iran.
Iran, okay.
Because it's not a country that people don't really drink that much coffee there. And so, yeah, I was quite surprised. Even in a very fancy hotel, I went one day to have a cappuccino, and it really wasn't very good.
Right.
But
right.
On Iran Airlines, it was the coffee was superb. And I have to say the food was superb also. I flew on Iran Airlines from Frankfurt, Germany, to Tehran, and the service and the food was absolutely... First of all, there was so much of it, and it was absolutely delicious. I was quite surprised. I've never seen that on any airplane.
Right. So talking about food, what was the food like outside of the airplanes?
Fabulous. Absolutely delicious.
How would you describe it?
Very, very healthy. Lots of vegetables, lots of aromatic spices. Not hot and spicy, but very, very flavorful and rich flavors. And the only problem I had with the food was that, you know, I just wanted to eat more. I couldn't fit any more in my stomach. And I really did eat a lot. And also my favorite food of all is sabzi khordan. And
really?
Sabzi, yeah. And
would you describe what it is?
Fistfuls of green, fresh, small-leafed herbs. And my Iranian family in Tehran, they would really laugh at me because they would put a dish of sabzi khordan on the table and I would literally eat it with my fists. It was just so delicious. Just raw, small-leafed greens.
Just as an appetizer.
Without anything, without any sauce, without any dressing, without any salt. No, nothing. Just absolutely plain.
It's just the natural flavors.
Absolutely natural.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Fabulous.
I do miss that as well.
Mm.
So did you at any time feel unsafe in Iran?
The only time I really felt unsafe was when I got on a little minibus from Sanandaj and I started to go into Kurdistan.
Minibuses scare me too over there.
Not because of the, you know, not because of the quality of the bus. The bus
right.
was fine. There was no problem. But, you know, I knew that there were road checks and I knew that there were different groups roaming around in that area. And at any time, anybody could have come and stopped the bus and asked for passports and things like that. I was a little concerned about that. But I really did truly feel like I was guided. Somehow, I had wanted to go there for so long, and the way opened up truly through kismet. I mean, I knew that if the way happened, if I made a connection with someone in Kurdistan, with this woman sheikh in this town in Kurdistan through mutual friends, and it happened, you know, it just through a friend like this, and... that's really the only time that I felt a bit concerned.
Okay.
But it passed very slowly. I mean, very, very quickly that passed because the woman who was sitting next to me on the bus and I, we were kind of looking at each other from the side for a few minutes until we got into a conversation. And she was traveling with her family members and they had all invited me to their house for lunch and then took me to the next little bus stop. And then I went up to Bane, Kurdistan, right near the Iraqi border.
Wow.
And it was a dream come true, and I can't wait to go back.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to going back.
Would you recommend others to go to Iran
and
visit?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what is your perception of what the media is doing?
I think it's really horrible. I think it's in the interest of something that I don't understand the depth of it. I would recommend that I'm definitely not a politically oriented person, but I do have to recommend one book, which I think that every single American person should read, called All the Shah's Men, which talks about the 1953 overthrow of Mossadegh. And when I read that book, it was like being on an airplane and your ears are stopped up and suddenly your ears go clear. because suddenly it all kind of made sense. I mean, all of this rhetoric now about the terrorists and this and all that, when you read that book, you understand their their reaction towards us and our role in their situation over there. I mean, again, I'm not a political person, mm-hmm. but I think that it's up to each of us to educate ourselves at least to the most minimal degree. And certainly, when I can't recommend that book highly enough. It just makes things so clear to understand the betrayal that the United States government did towards the Iranian people. Mm-hmm. When I believe before that time they really looked up to America, and that was a huge betrayal.
Right.
And no one, very few Americans know that story. Very few. And mm-hmm. I think all Iranians know that story, but right. very few Americans have ever heard of Mossadegh. Don't know anything about 1953. Everybody's talking all the time about the revolution, the Islamic revolution, and the hostage crisis and all that, but without any background. It's totally out of context. And I feel very strongly about that. And I almost want to go waving around a flag about that, really, telling people to really educate themselves. At least read this one book. It puts things in perspective so much more clearly.
Yes, I've read that book. It's a very good book. Now let's get back to music. You have a website, correct?
I have a weblog. I do have a website, but there's nothing there yet.
Okay. So what is your weblog about?
It's about my travels in Iran. Basically, when I first went over there, my family, they were very worried about me, and my friends were very worried about me. So I just started writing a letter. It wasn't even a weblog in the beginning. It was just a letter telling them what was going on so that they wouldn't worry, to reassure them and everything like that. And then it became a problem sending it to all those different people, and it was taking too long with my internet email server, so someone suggested that I make a weblog, so I did. And that was really the purpose. It's very incomplete. I haven't written about all of my trip, really only about the first half of my trip, because otherwise I would have been sitting at the computer mm-hmm. more time than I already was, but I will be writing more about that. I will complete that eventually, and I will have a website eventually that has
Good.
Something on it.
So if anybody wants to read about you, what would the address be?
www.iran-rowanstorm.blogspot.com.
Thank you so much, Rowan. Thank you so much for being on the Persian Hour today.
Thank you so much, Shahrokh.
Thank you. That was a perfect pronunciation of my name, by the way, which I hardly ever hear in Spokane. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Persian Hour. So that was a recording of Rowan's interview, which she was here on Tuesday, last Tuesday, and she did a amazing performance. And I wish those of you who didn't get an opportunity to see her in the future would get an opportunity. And she's just awesome, and I hope she continues doing these trips and making these performances available to everyone.